John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." Who said those words to Jesus? John. John said these words to Jesus. John, the son of Zebedee, one of the 12 apostles, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him." John must have had some sort of personality because he gets a nickname. Jesus nicknames John and his brother James the Sons of Thunder. Everyone earns a nickname, so you wonder what John did to earn the nickname the Son of Thunder. But only read the few times John speaks up in the scriptures and you begin to see why. Here, Mark chapter 9, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he wasn't one of us." As if John said to these people, "Stop! You have no business doing that." Next time John speaks up, they're in a village of Samaria, and this village apparently doesn't receive the apostles. So guess who speaks up? John, the Son of Thunder. And guess what the Son of Thunder is recorded saying in the Holy Scriptures? "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume each and every one of them?" It's as if John goes to this village and says, "You heathen sinners who fail to receive the Lord, I'm going to send fire from heaven down and consume each and every one of you. You see." You begin to see why Jesus calls John a Son of Thunder. John was a force to be reckoned with. You get the sense that when it comes to the roles of the apostles, John was more like the enforcer, a loud, boisterous Son of Thunder. Simply discontent for a peaceful night with the apostles, John would come swooping in with his perilous roars and his shouts of defiance. Oh great, here goes John again. So it's no surprise that here it's John, the Son of Thunder, who's the one who tries to stop some people from casting out demons in Jesus' name. John says to Jesus, "I saw someone casting out a demon in your name, and I tried to stop him, but the fool wouldn't listen." Jesus rebukes John every time. And if you recall, it's John, if you remember, who has the boldness and the audacity to ask Jesus this question the week before he's killed on the cross. "Jesus, grant me to sit at your right hand when you come in your glory." And the disciples hear this and they become indignant at John. There's John again, running his mouth. Jesus rebukes him every time. "You don't know what you're asking for, John. Stop, John," or he turns, and into the scriptures just say, "And the Lord rebuked John." Yet, John's nickname tells us all we need to know about this particular disciple of Jesus. He was a Son of Thunder, a vigorous defender, a brash disciple, an in-your-face, get-out-of-my-way kind of person. And yet, this is the man who most often uses the phrase in his later years, "Little children, love one another." He writes about it over 50 times in his short letters of 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. "Little children, love one another." It's John who writes these words. "See what kind of love the Father has for you. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is the commandment, that whoever loves God must also love his brother." It's John who writes, "We love because he first loved us." What happened to John? What happened to the Son of Thunder that made him this disciple of love? It's as if when he writes his letters in his later years, he's writing with an entirely different heart and an entirely different spirit, an entirely different goal in mind as he's writing to other people. What in the world changed for John? Was it his age? He's writing these letters decades after his time walking with Jesus. Maybe it was age that got the best of him. Some, they say, can grow softer in old age. Some who even had the hardest of hearts in their years, younger years, can grow soft and more loving as they grow up in age. C.S. Lewis said that autumn is really the best of seasons, but I'm not sure that old age isn't the best part of life. And Tom Petty said, if you're not growing older, you're dead. So there's that. And then I found this. One thing about getting old is that you can sing in the bathroom while brushing your teeth. I had to think about it too for a second. But perhaps it was age. And John softened up. Maybe it was age that turned the Son of Thunder into the disciple of love. Or maybe it was the continual rebuking of Jesus. Stop, John. Could have been. Maybe it was his time spent with family and friends, or the time he spent with his new mother that Jesus gives to him at his cross. Jesus' own mother, Mary, becomes John's mother. And maybe it was time spent with Mary that had an impact on John. Or maybe it was his time spent on the island of Patmos in exile as he's writing Revelation and he's seeing all these visions of the churches. Or maybe it was his decade spent in service to the church. Maybe it was all of those things together. But I don't think any of those things quite fully explains the total transformation for John. It was the cross. That cross. And the man hanging upon it. John saw it with his own eyes. He was the only disciple of Jesus who was there at that cross and saw Jesus die and breathe his last. He saw it. He saw it with his own eyes. He saw just how much this man loved him. He saw the very depths and relentless pursuit of the love of Christ. He writes about it in his own gospel, John chapter 19, verse 23. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." This is how John defines himself in his own letter. He's not a son of thunder. He's not this or that. He is the disciple whom Jesus loved. This is who he believed he was to his core, above all else, more than the sums of his weaknesses or regrets or boisterous anger or sins. John knew in that moment that he was the disciple whom Jesus loved, and he saw it. He saw just how much this man loved him. And it was that cross, it was Jesus laying down his life for him that made John an entirely different disciple with an entirely different heart. And forever changed his thunder into a life of love and service. We can all relate to the life of John. For some of you, his life mirrors your own. You look back at your younger years and you repent for your severity and harshness. But you've grown softer, more humble and loving. Was it age? Was it time with family and friends? Was it life together in the body of Christ and coming to church for decades? Maybe. But above all else, it was that cross. That Jesus died for you. And he rose from the dead for you. And he sent his Holy Spirit into your heart and created an entirely new person. Therefore, return to the cross every day. And see there just how much he loves you. But for others of you, your life seems more like in the reverse. You may have once been soft-hearted, more compassionate and gentle. You once loved, but not anymore, at least not as much. Your heart has grown cold, and your compassion is waning, and you feel the thunder rumbling throughout your heart far more frequently and far more consistently than in your younger years. It's become easier to lash out for you, to hold grudges and to withhold forgiveness, and to get into the way of others in Jesus just like John. What is it? Now, do you too want to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume your enemy? Has your heart become so callous through all the years of all the beatings that you've had to endure and the scars of life and the disappointments you've suffered that they've turned you into a daughter of thunder? Rippling anger and unruly hatred you used to love. It used to be easier, but now it's impossible. Return to the cross with John and with me and with Jesus and look at him and see just how much he loves you. See his wounds for you. See his perfect life given up for you. His breathless beating that he endured for you. Is there no greater love than that? That God himself would come and give up his life for you, the disciple whom he loves. His love for you is perfect and relentless and unconditional and wholly sacrificial. And therefore, that is why John calls you the beloved. Because that is who you are at your core. The loved one of God. So, beloved, we love because he first loved us. And if God so loved us, then we also ought to love one another. Amen.